When I lived in Missouri, we had a church member by the name of Harold Ludwig, and I don't know if you remember Harold or not, but we had a church member by the name of Harold Ludwig, and he owned the local ice cream shop. And, well, it was the only ice cream shop because it was only a town of 936 people, right? And so it was more of a kind of a hobby retirement business. It gave them a little extra income. They tossed in sandwiches. It grew a little bit larger crowd. But he loved being at the shop. And if I wanted to go visit him, I would have to actually go to the ice cream shop. And no, I did not eat ice cream every time I went, all right? But I just... Harold had a way with words, and there was one thing he liked to tell me all the time, often when I visited, almost every time I visited, he would look me straight in the eye and he would point at me, usually with two fingers like that. He'd point at me, look at me real serious like, and he'd say, "Pastor, I just want you to know I'm proud to tell you how humble I am." Then, of course, he would burst out into big laughter. His smile would take over his face right there. But it was just one of his little jokes of saying, "Pastor, I'm proud to tell you how humble." It was just the irony of Harold saying it. Just, it made me laugh every time I heard it. And but real boasting, I don't know if any of you have ever been around a boaster. But boasting seems to get folks into trouble, right? For one, we don't generally like being around a boaster. But number two, if you ever see someone boasting, isn't it all of a sudden out of nowhere 12 people come out to prove them wrong about their boasting, right? It's just the way of things. At least, well, if I ever say anything good about myself, I find I have 12 people ready to prove me wrong, right? But boasting usually gets us in trouble, right? Well, today I have some good news for you, though, right? Because we're going to talk about biblical boasting. Yes, the Bible talks about boasting being a good thing. And you're wondering, where's the catch? Yes, there is a catch. But we're going to get into that as we go through 2 Corinthians. I almost got into trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to pick up at verse 7 just for a little bit of context. I know that's where Pastor Dan left off last week, but I'm going to pick up at verse 7. And we're going to learn a little bit about biblical boasting. This is going to be lots of fun, isn't it? This is where you guys say amen, so I know you haven't fallen asleep quite yet. All right, very good. This is Paul's words. "You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say, 'His letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible.' Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also in deed when present. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves..." Ooh, that gets a little confusing there, doesn't it? "They are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. So as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends." And that's our reading today from God's holy and inerrant word out of 2 Corinthians. Boy, this is a lot of fun. We get to boast today. We're going to talk about biblical boasting, and I'm going to talk about three truths. I actually want you to remember three truths about boasting. And the first one is going to be the obvious one, right? Boasting in yourself proves you to be a fool. Right? Boasting in yourself proves you to be a fool. So if we just look at verse 7 through 9 again, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. Hey, guess what? It's a level playing field. So what's going on here? We have people that are boasting about themselves. And I don't know if you noticed, but there seems to be this thing with human beings that we like to tear down other people and lift ourselves up to make ourselves look better, right? Maybe, you might have seen this once or twice in a political ad at the last election cycle, right? And there's generally three different kinds of ads, right? Three different kinds of ads. What do you see? You see one ad, it's tearing the other candidate down, right? So this guy is, or gal, or lady, person, is... you're all laughing at me. This person is bad, 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 right? That's one of the kind of ads. And we got the other ad, which is, hey, my candidate is good, good, good. And of course, the third kind of ad is what? It's the hybrid ad. Bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, right? This person is bad, so now look at this person's good. And that's pretty much all those political ads tend to be, right? And so, but this didn't start then. There's actually some writings back in that are in existence from back in Paul's day. And we find what the teachers did, because we're talking about Greek society, and people paid a lot to follow teachers, right? And so what do these teachers do? Well, they would say, that teacher's bad, I am good, give me your money, right? So boasting has always been around, hasn't it? Boasting has always been around. But yet, people are on the same playing field, and Paul is saying here, in the church, hey, these detractors of mine, these people that are trying to make me look bad to make themselves look better, well, we're on the same level. We're on the same playing field. We are equal. Notice how Paul's not saying, well, they're bad and I'm good. He's saying, we are equal. That's a completely different tack than what most people take, right? For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, he's not saying he's going to, he's saying, even if I did, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. So who, now it's interesting, who gave Paul the authority? Is Paul saying, I'm the preacher of Corinth here. I'm not only church planted you, but I am good looking and I'm a great preacher. Is he coming out saying that? And he said, no. I only came, why? Because the Lord sent me. Now, if you're starting to get the hint, where is Paul already pointing? To God, right? Then he's going to continue. Paul's going to continue. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. So this is a slanderous attack, right? What makes someone have unimpressive speech? Or what their presence unimpressive? What makes their speech contemptible? In this case, the contemptible means it's so empty that it's non-existent. Not even worth hearing, right? But those aren't facts that they're sharing, is it? They're just attacks. It's just like if someone said, hey, Jeff, you're ugly. Well, yeah, but if someone never met me, they don't actually know that's true, right? You can say, hey, you got a big ears and big nose and your eyebrows are funny. Okay, well, those are facts, right? But they're not going through the facts. They're just making things up. Do you see that? And they're doing that. Why? To tear down so they can boast about themselves. And it continues on, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. So he's just going on and saying, hey, they're attacking me, saying, hey, the letters are mean. Paul's a mean guy, but when he comes, he's a fluffy kind of fellow that's not going to stand by his own words. Now, I have a hard time believing those detractors. Why? Well, someone that's going to get beaten for the gospel, someone that is going to go to jail for the gospel multiple times, right? Someone that's going to be shipwrecks and deal with robbers and floods and all sorts of crazy things that we're going to cover later on in 2 Corinthians. He's not the kind of guy that's going to back down with someone that's just making an accusation. And what's further, who are these people that are attacking Paul compared to Peter? And yet, if you remember in Galatians, what does Paul do with Peter? He goes up to Peter and he says, "What are you doing, buddy?" And he goes on the attack on Peter when Peter was being wrong, right? Do you think Paul's going to have a hard time standing up to these folks? Do you really believe we need to believe his detractors saying, "Ah, he might be heavy in his letters, but he's not going to do anything when he gets here"? They're just making things up, aren't they? And Paul's just saying, "Hey, try me." Paul's not a shy guy, is he? He's like, just saying, "Try me. Just when I get there, we'll see. We'll see how I am." But it's the same old as all history, right? And maybe you've seen some of that in your life, right? Boastful people, and they're especially happy to boast about themselves when the person they're trying to look good next to is not there, right? I don't know if you've been around people that are boasting. Usually, they're not boasting with the person that's about to put them down. One of the things the hardest part of this passage was, I thought, verse 12. There's some unpacking to do, because he's using a lot of the same words over and over again. And it's like, what is he saying? So let's just take it a little chunk at a time. "For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves." He's saying, hey, you know what? They're saying they're good, and we're not going to play that game, right? We're not going to play the game to say, I'm in this group or I'm in that group. I'm better or not better. He said, I'm not even playing this game. Do you see that in the verse? He's not going to class. He's not going to compare. He's not going to group people together. And then it continues on. "But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves..." What is he saying there? He's saying they decided they're good, and so they got a measuring stick that made them look good, right? It's kind of like, if I want to show myself to be a good runner, all I have to do is get a whole bunch of toddlers to run against, and I'm going to get a result to show I beat all these people, I was twice as fast, right? And so that's what Paul is saying here, is that, well, they're saying they're good, but guess what? They created their own measuring stick in order to measure themselves. And when you take your own measuring stick and measure yourself, of course you look tall. Of course you look good, right? But that's not reality. Paul's saying they're not in reality. They're in their own imagination for what is good and what is not. Do you see that in the verse? And then he says they are without understanding. Now this is kind of an interesting note, because in Greek culture, to say you are without understanding is to say you're dumb and you're foolish. And one of the biggest insults for Greek culture, including Corinthian culture, where they highly esteemed education and learning, and they had places that they would just assemble and debate things, right? It was kind of, all the great people were thinkers then. And if you wanted to insult someone back in Greek time, you just call them dumb. And so he was kind of going, hey, if they're Greeks, they're going to hear my words now, and they're going to take that basically as a slap in the face. If you're going to compare yourself by your own measure, you're dumb. Bam, slap in the face. Now, if you're a Hebrew, you're not necessarily going to get that message. If you are steeped in Hebrew culture, in the Old Testament, a lot of times, it is the animals that are without understanding. So, at the same time he's slapping the Greeks in the face, he's backslapping the Hebrews by saying, you're equivalent to an animal. Now, isn't that a great way to insult two groups of people at one time? Right? Paul's got a way with words, doesn't he? And so he really lets them know, if you are boasting, you are being a fool. You are being foolish. And he doesn't play that game. He doesn't take their bait. So, no wonder Paul gets into some fights, doesn't he? He doesn't hold anything back. So, do you see where people are foolish when they boast? And so let's go to our second truth. Our second truth is the fruit of your actions will boast for you. If you are really doing something of excellence, the outcome of your actions will boast for you. You don't have to open up your mouth. The fruit will speak. Verse 13. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. Translation, you know what? If we are going to boast, we're going to boast about something we can. You exist, Corinthian church, because we came to you. If we didn't come to you, you wouldn't be here having these arguments with boasters. Hello, people. Right? And then he continues on in 14. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. We were the ones, not these people that are making things up. They didn't come. They moved into a church that's already established, built, and growing, and they're trying to claim the prize. But who came to bring the gospel to them first of all? It was Paul and his companions, wasn't it? Looking at the first half of verse 15, not boasting beyond our measure, that is in other men's labors. They didn't do that, did they? So, what's the saying? All's fair in love and war and church planting? No, that's not how things go, right? They should not be doing these things. It's a mess. And it's always a mess. It happens in churches today, doesn't it? Unfortunately, we know these things happen in churches today. And yet, they should not be boasting. Even though Paul is saying, hey, we have this right to boast, but you see through and through, where is he pointing? At himself? No, he's not. And how would you feel if you were in Paul's shoes? While Paul seems frustrated that someone is trying to take credit to force themselves in the leadership position in the Corinthian church, Paul also knows he doesn't really need to boast. Now, the next chapter, Paul brags about what he has done, but it's tongue-in-cheek. So when Pastor Dan goes through in the next chapter what Paul can boast about, he's doing it tongue-in-cheek to really put these people into their place, right? But ultimately saying, look, how ridiculous are these people? And then he says something more important as he continues in verse 15. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. Enlarged, magnified, made much of, made big. Paul and his companions are going to be enlarged, magnified. By what? By Paul's boasting? No. By the growing faith of the Corinthians. It is only by the growing faith of the Corinthians that Paul is made big. He's just saying, he's not trying to brag, but he's saying something that's natural. If you do something great, it speaks for you, right? And Paul's saying, hey, it's not my speaking, it's not my preaching, it's not all my sacrifices. He doesn't go through those things. What does he point to as what is boasting for him? The Corinthians. The very people that are trying to tear him down, he's saying, you have a growing faith, and that's a testimony to how hard I worked and loved you. Right? And it is the growing faith of the Corinthians that is speaking for Paul. Paul does not need to boast, does he? He doesn't need to boast. And what if Paul's detractors, though, kind of win over the church? What if Paul's detractors, they're boasting, sways so many people that Paul's asked never to come back, and they get to run the church and have their little playground and have their way with things? Well, let's skip over to verse 18. Let me read that to you. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Hey, who cares? I don't care what you guys say about me. Why? Because it matters what God says about me. It matters what God thinks about me, what God feels about me, right? You can do your boasting, but in the long run, on this earth, let alone for eternity, those things don't matter. What matters is what God says. And does God know the truth? Does God need our boasting to look good before Him? No, last time I checked. No, right? It matters what God thinks and feels about us. Because if you think about it, our skill, our wisdom, everything comes from God anyway, right? I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's look at verse 17 to look at the third truth. The third truth is our opportunity is to boast in the Lord. Our opportunity is to boast in the Lord. And that's pretty much all centered on verse 17. Verse 17, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. Now, verse 17 is a paraphrase of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. And we're going to look at Jeremiah verse 23 and 24. And the reason we're going to do that is because Paul actually uses, this is not the first time Paul references this verse to the Corinthians, let alone all together. This is probably a verse, because of how Paul uses it multiple times, this is probably a verse that he's expecting them to know. All right? And this is kind of when Paul teaches and when all the New Testament authors teach, they expect that their audience has an understanding of the Old Testament scripture, right? And so when Paul does this shorthand referencing of a verse in the Old Testament, often he's expecting them to know what's going on in the Old Testament without having to read the passage and explain it over to them again, right? So Paul's going shorthand, but let him who boasts in the Lord. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. It's interesting. In that passage, it specifies three things that people aren't supposed to boast about, or to be proud of. And yet, what are the three things, probably the three most common, if not the three most common, with the three of the top five, of things that we use a cheat to go, oh, hey, I should lift that person up, right? Often, at least in society, it's if someone's strong, whether they're physically strong or just powerful, right? If they are rich or if they're smart. We automatically give respect to people that seem smart, that seem rich, and seem powerful. And what does God say not to do? Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, the rich man boast of his riches, the strong man boast of his strength, right? That's what we're not supposed to do. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to boast in the Lord. Not just boast in the Lord, but say, hey, I know this God. In verse 24, if you look at that again, that he knows me and understands me, that this is not a far-off God. This is a close God that I can know on a personal level. And not only that I know this God, but the God is chesed, loving kindness, covenant, faithfulness, love, hesed. And God loves loving kindness, He loves justice, and He loves mercy, right? Or righteousness in this translation. And not only does he love these things, He delights in loving kindness and in justice and righteousness. He just doesn't do them, but I don't know if you ever noticed the difference between something that you got to do and something you delight doing, right? Don't you give it a little bit of different effort? I mean, when I go to do my taxes, I'm not jumping up and down full of energy, right? And having a good time, right? I don't have all my friends over partying, doing the taxes at the same time. In fact, when I'm done, I'm kind of dragging out of away from my computer going, whoo, that's over, right? Maybe you love doing taxes. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad example. But it's just something I got to do, right? Dusting my desk. It's just something I got to do, right? But then there's some things that I really delight in. I love going for hikes in the woods, and especially when it's raining. I know it's kind of weird, but I love hiking through the woods in the rain, right? And when it's time to go, I'm like, come on, kids, let's go. We can't get there fast enough. We can't spend enough time there. Oh, it's pitch dark. We really got to leave, right? Doesn't your energy change with things that you delight in? Did you know that God made us to image Him? Do you think that He's got different energy when it comes to things that He delights in? What is He trying to communicate here that He delights in these things? They're not accidental. They're not a chore for Him. This is really what God likes, is justice and righteousness and loving kindness. Right? And Paul is saying, you know what? These people are boasting about themselves. And that's just absolutely foolish. Why do you talk about yourself in the first place? If you want to boast about something, I'm going to give you something good to boast about. It's going to be God, right? And that is biblical boasting. We turn and we proclaim to God how great He is. We turn to the people around us. We proclaim how great God is. And it is a delight to delight in our God. And Paul is saying, hey, in this ministry I have among you, Corinthians, what you can do, what I can do, is delight in God and how God is working among you to grow your faith. And we go, that's great, Jeff. I can see how that applies to Paul. I can see how that probably applies to Pastor Dan because he's got this great ministry. Guess what? We all have ministry. If you have a spouse, you have a ministry to your spouse. If you have children or grandchildren, you have a ministry to your family, don't you? If you have neighbors, you have a ministry to your neighbors. If you are living in a cave for 20 years by yourself, you probably still have a ministry of prayer, okay? You all have a ministry. And in that ministry, we can be looking for ways to boast about our God. And the funny thing is, we talked a little bit about this some times before, the more I see God at work, the more I can boast about Him, the less I see about myself, the more observant I am of God working in other places. It creates the cycle of less pride, less selfishness, less thinking about me. And the cycle of more God, more God, more God, which brings me more joy, which brings me more sight of what God is doing and what God can do. And it goes back to praising God and having this endless cycle of a lifestyle of endlessly worshiping God. There's an old monk that used to call it practicing the presence of God, as if God's always right there with you, to be looking for Him actively working and praising him as if he's standing right beside you. Because guess what? As a God that's everywhere, he sort of is, right? And when you have this lifestyle of always knowing God's there, you don't think about yourself. And my hope is that no matter what comes, for Paul, who was being beaten, thrown in jail, left for dead, and what was he able to do? Constantly praise God. Man, if I could get to a point where I'm just a fraction of Paul's level of praising God and having God so magnified that I don't think about myself, what a wonderful life that would be. Right? And so we all have this opportunity in our ministry and in our daily lives to have this endless cycle of praising and worshiping God, of boasting in the Lord, the God of righteousness, justice, and loving kindness. And as you go through today, I hope that if you aren't already in this practice, you begin this practice of looking for God at work and boasting in the Lord when you see him at work. And if you don't see him doing something specific, there's always something that you can always tie your roots to, right? Is that you have salvation through Jesus Christ. And you can boast about that if nothing else. If everything else is going terrible today, you can always boast about, you know what? I know I have an intimate relationship with God because God died for me. Right? So think about that as you walk through today and through the week and look for opportunities to form the habit of boasting in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly King, we praise you and thank you for your goodness and kindness, your great love and mercy. You are the God of loving kindness, of justice, of righteousness. Lord, we get in the way of our own joy. Be magnified in our lives. Open up our lives to just full and unadulterated worship of you. Help us not to withhold or hold back of what you can do or what you will be willing to do in our lives, Lord. But let's just focus on you and see you at work, to praise you, to pray to you, to glorify your name. Help us all to have lives of constant boasting in you and in nothing else, Lord Jesus Christ. Be glorified among us today, Lord, as we praise you and pray in your most holy name. Amen.